Welcome to I Am the Cute One, the most chaotic school dance in the podcast universe.
Let's spike the punch, grind to Usher, and talk about our favorite topic, ourselves.
Hello, I am Donnie, and I am the cute one.
And I am Chelsea, and I am the cute one.
And we are here on week three of Donnie Appreciation Month. I hate week three because I feel like hump day is over. We're officially over the hill of Donnie Appreciation Month, and then the rest of the month is just sad to me.
Well, for me, it feels like I got over that first scary hill of the roller coaster, and I can finally enjoy myself because I know the end is nigh. We'll be pulling into that station, and I'll be able to get myself a Diet Coke and a pretzel soon.
Well, funny you should say that, because Quinn went to the grocery store yesterday and said, what do you want for dinner? And I said, just a Diet Coke and pretzels. So,
no.
Chelsea, yes, Donnie Appreciation Month is where you can thrive if you just allow yourself to.
Our twin tuition is getting very, very freaky lately.
On this third week of Donnie Appreciation Month, we're covering today Troop Beverly Hills. Before you say anything, Chelsea, you'll have the floor soon enough. I just want to talk about this day in history. It came out March 24th, 1989. So if you do the math, I had just celebrated my third birthday. Not only was it a Friday, it was Good Friday. So Jesus was being hung on a cross as people were watching this movie. But also, if you do some more math, this is the 35th anniversary of the movie.
Wow.
Yeah, we're celebrating a lot of things today. We don't need to know about number one song because it was 1989. We don't need to know about number one movie because I had never heard of it. But I do think it's important to note that an Exxon ship hit a reef in Alaska and spilled 11 million gallons of oil into the sea, killing over 500,000 seabirds.
Oh, no.
I know. Happy birthday to me.
These gas companies, they do be loving to spill their oil into the sea.
A lot of it, too. Like, not only are you killing things, but you're wasting product. You're Donnie. Just bad at lots of jobs.
Of course. I forgot. Our capitalist king, Donnie, isn't concerned for the poor seabirds out there without Dawn dish soap to wash their poor little feathers. You're worried about the product.
No, I'm worried about both, Chelsea, because here's the thing. If birds were a casualty of you doing your job, then the high ups would just say like, oh, it's just a penguin, but we're selling oil. But if you spill the oil and kill the penguins, what are you here for? You belong on the unemployment line. You get it?
I hear it. I'm not going to say I get it or co-sign it. I actually think that you have just given us a little history lesson into why my daughters are probably going to have to forage for rocks on the moon at some point in their lives, because this earth, R.I.P.
And as they're foraging for rocks, let's say one of them picked up a rock and then dropped it and killed, I don't know, a baby squirrel. Not only did she kill a baby squirrel, but she also lost the rock she was there to work for in the first place. That is what I'm saying,
well,
Chelsea.
I don't know if our tax dollars are going to go to transporting squirrels to the moon when we are trying to live and colonize that.
We don't know what's there. There could be moon squirrels.
There could be. I guess that's true. There was that squirrel from Ice Age that made it to outer space.
Very true. So okay,
maybe he's still looking for that nut somewhere.
Oh, Sydney Sweeney face herself. So
we're off to a great start.
So on that note, I do need to say how great I am for a second. Mm-hmm. Choosing this movie was more for the movie and more for the cuties who love this movie than it was for me.
So giving.
Thank
you. Our very own Mother Teresa.
Is she problematic?
I think so. I've heard rumbling.
Okay, so then it is me. So I didn't watch this movie until I was an adult, but the 35th anniversary of a movie is pretty important. So I was like, let me cover it for Donnie Appreciation Month.
Okay.
I do like this movie. I just have no ties to it as a child.
Thank you for letting us watch this because... okay, I'm starting to learn to trust again. I'm opening my heart and I'm feeling like I have fallen backwards in a trust fall. And while I haven't been completely caught by you, I do feel the pressure of your hands trying to not let me hit the ground this Donnie Appreciation season, because Red Eye, loved it. Little Shop of Horrors, loved it. Troop Beverly Hills, loved it. This is like the girl version of the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the Mighty Ducks?
Once a long time ago, but it was too boy heavy.
Well, that tracks. So I've seen the Mighty Ducks many times. Ducks Fly Together. Mm-hmm. And you have seen Troop Beverly Hills. And I'm saying two sides of the same coin. I loved it.
Okay. Now, I would love to say that you will get out of Donnie Appreciation Month unscathed and you will love all 4 weeks worth of programming. However, this could be, and not on purpose, because I want you to love next week, but this very well could be the equivalent of my candy house. So you're out there chewing on a lollipop, chewing on a Snickers bar, chewing on a candy cane, and then next week is when I invite you in and push you in the oven.
Yeah. I have heard Sucker Punch.
That's correct, yes. Okay,
I don't know why I want to call it Thumb Sucker, Punch Drunk Love. I don't know. I can't get this movie title
right. You can call it whatever you want throughout the month. Just make sure before you start the movie that you do check in with me to ask what it's called.
Well, we've been down that road before I'm halfway through a movie that we're not watching that week. I have been told that it's going to go one of two ways. I'm either going to love it or it's going to be quite literally my least favorite movie of all time. So time will tell, but there's nowhere but up I can go from a harrowing experience that I had this morning, Donnie.
Tell me.
I almost shit my pants again. I was dropping my daughter off at her school and I felt a little grumble in the belly and I said, I can make it home. I got out to the parking lot and I said, oop, I should have used their restroom. Got in the car and in that 6 minute drive home, my life flashed before my eyes. It was a real buzzer beater, but I did make it.
Well, I'm glad. And there really is no way to celebrate Donnie Appreciation Month like shitting yourself.
Well, you know what they say, God gives his tummiest of troubles to his toughest of soldiers. And here I am, alive and clean to tell the tale.
You're like Lot's wife. No, she turned into salt. I picked the wrong person.
Who shit their pants in the Bible?
No, Job did, I think.
Really?
Well, God kept testing him all these different ways. So, like, killed his family, made his house burn down. I'm sure bowel problems were a part
100%
of it.
100% shitting the pants was a test Job had to face. Maybe God's testing me.
Maybe. Chelsea, last week I told you Little Shop of Horrors was not appropriate for children. They watched it anyway. This week you asked if it was appropriate, and I didn't know. So I just went to IMDb and sent you, like, the parent recap that was like, they say shit 13 times, and you were like, that's fine.
My girls just hear that on a weekly basis, hanging out with my family. However, they had choice words about this movie, and they were very concerned that you chose it for your birthday month and that you like it.
First of all, why? Second, did they not like it, or did they have problems with it but still like
it? So they were in and out of it. Dr. Bald, for his birthday, wanted to teach them how to skateboard. So it had already been a really long day. We got them boards. He was out teaching them to skateboard. So they were like exhausted. So their focus was not really there to begin with. Okay. But they were concerned, not by bitch, not by shit. Stupid is a slur in our home. And when Phyllis called someone stupid, both of my daughters clutched their chest, gasped. And my oldest daughter said, Donnie should not be watching this movie. This is inappropriate.
So if today's episode makes you clutch your pearls or laugh or whatever, do us a favor and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. A 5-star review is the easiest way to help us grow our audience and this community. And if you don't, you're stupid. So a little background information. It was written by Pamela Norris, who was the executive producer of Designing Women and a writer for Saturday Night Live for 4 years.
Is Designing Women on our list? Because I've never seen that and I've only heard wonderful things.
It's a TV show. And it's a sitcom, so there's no, like, way to do it for the Patreon.
I thought it was a movie.
No, but you should go figure out what movie you're trying to think of. It's not Designing Women.
Okay, there's another movie then, probably. Or maybe people have just been telling me I'd really enjoy the show, Designing Women.
Maybe.
I think that sometimes people think it's a bit when I'm living under a rock and I don't know things. It's not. It's not.
I can tell you it's not. Cuties, if you're wondering, Chelsea's really committing to this bit. She ain't. God bless her. It was directed by Jeff Canoe, who directed Revenge of the Nerds and 3 episodes of Touched by an Angel.
Yeah. I wonder which 3.
The budget, this is a tough one. It was $18 million to make, and it brought in $8.5 million.
This was a flop?
Yeah, apparently.
Wow.
So Roger Ebert gave it 2 stars and said, the underlying problem with Troop Beverly Hills is that the movie does not think Beverly Hills is funny. It sees nothing wrong with devout materialism. It has no sense of the ridiculous. A movie like Down and Out in Beverly Hills has more pointed satire and hard-edged social observation in its opening 60 seconds than Troop Beverly Hills ever aspires to.
Roger loves pitting movies against each other. And also, I can't disagree more. I feel like this movie knew exactly what it was doing and was definitely aware that it was making fun of Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I think because there was still like a sweet story to it and it wasn't only existing to like shoot down at Beverly Hills, I think that was his problem.
I wonder what he would have thought of Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Probably loved it. So there's only 2 taglines this week. You're either going to be Phyllis and turn your troop into a star, or be that bitch lady and flop.
And break my leg in the woods.
So here is the first one. When the going gets tough, the tough go shopping.
I'm going to turn that into a star because I never know what's lurking around the next corner.
You passed my test. You really satisfied yourself. You can just cut it. You pass the test. Okay.
I love that that was too much for you. Oh, excuse me. Don't say stupid and don't satisfy yourself of all the rotten things you say on this podcast.
Well, I can talk about satisfying myself all the time and I can like be mean to you, but telling you to satisfy yourself, I passed the line. You are a married woman. So the second one is, she's hilarious. She's captivating. She's wonderful. She's a Beverly Hills babe in the woods, and the woods are filled with laughter.
That is so stupid. Also could be just my morning daily affirmations. She's hilarious. She's wonderful.
I wonder if sometimes on IMDb, if they say it's a tagline, but really it's just what the person said in the trailer. Like, can't you imagine Mr. Movie Phone saying that? She's hilarious. She's captivating. She's wonderful. As she, like, is shocked. And stuff.
And the woods are filled with laughter.
Oh,
and it's everybody
for sure.
Just being like, you can't do it. You won't be able to do it. And people like laughing in her face.
2 little bits of trivia. This was the film debut of Carla Gugino and Tori Spelling. And 2, Carla Gugino was 16, but lied about her age to get the role. So then when she got the role, she was taller than the rest of the girls. So she was often placed in, like, very much the front row and all the girls were in the back. Or she was in the back and the girls were in the front. Or sometimes they just had her sit on the floor and everyone else stand.
Love that.
Fascinating. Do you know who Carla Gugino is?
I was hoping you weren't going to ask. Who is it?
It was Chica, the one who her parents don't celebrate her birthday.
What did Chica go on to do?
Well, Sucker Punch next week, Chelsea, for one. But no, you know her from like Haunting of Hill House, Bly Manor.
I've never seen any of those. They were too gross for
you
me.
You would love them.
I know, you keep saying that, but Dr. Bald says I won't. If it's a horror movie that's, like, scary because of gore, I do not like it.
No, me neither. I said I will not cover Hostel or Saw or anything like that on this podcast. I refuse.
Well, once we get to 2,000 reviews on Apple Podcasts, people, we will cover Human Centipede. So rate at your own risk.
So wait, now I want to see if you know this woman.
Should we play the game? Look at her IMDb.
Oh, yeah. Carla Gugino. You know her from Night at the Museum.
There it is.
Oh, and Spy Kids.
She's the mom in Spy
Kids.
Yeah, okay. I know her from Spy Kids.
After next week, you'll say you know her from Sucker Punch. Do you know anything about Sucker Punch?
No.
Oh, God, I can't wait.
I know. Okay. And Dr. Bald, I'll save this conversation for next week because I feel like our whole intro next week is going to be me telling you about how Dr. Bald has been sabotaging you behind the scenes. So stay tuned for that.
My two
Pisces husbands have been fighting during their season.
But here's the thing, and I know we're not here to talk about Sucker Punch. Everything he's saying is probably correct because is it a movie full of all women that's probably the most anti-feminist movie of all time? Yes, but is it my idea of feminism? Pretty women in short skirts shooting guns and stuff? Yes.
So next week is going to be Donnie's feminist film study.
But don't worry. We don't need to talk about feminism at all. We can just talk about pretty blonde girls in short skirts.
Well, that is your feminism, isn't it?
It is. Quinn always said that Harvey Weinstein beat me to my dream job. So anyway. What character, if any, do you identify as?
Well, now I identify as that broken leg in the woods. So I am, and you don't need to say anything, Donnie. I want you to zip it for what I'm about to say because I'm already saying it, so you don't need to say it. I'm not as feminine as Phyllis. Everything about her being an outdoor adventure girl is me.
I can see it, especially after the disclaimer. If you would have not said that, I would have had to point it out. But that is only because, Chelsea, I am the bitch lady. And I don't want to be, and I do hate her in this movie and was rooting for much more than a broken ankle in her future. But if this was a drama club movie and not Girl Scouts, and some bubble-headed bitch came in and tried to make it her own and not follow the rules that have been set up for her in the past to succeed, I would flip out and want to end her. In fact, actually, you can ask Little Bo Peep because it already happened.
Yeah, you wouldn't be trying to ruin her by getting this teacher from Sabrina to be her secret spy stalker. You would just be blowing her boyfriend. Go back to our She's the Man episode for that story, for that torrid little tale. Like what you're hearing? Head to patreon.com/IamTheCuteOne for more.
There you can find uncut, unedited, and unhinged video and audio footage of current episodes.
That's patreon.com/IamTheCuteOne. See you there.
So, let's cover this movie.
It's Donnie Appreciation Month and True Beverly Hills. Oh, what a thrill. This movie begins when Phyllis Neffler is recently separated from her husband, Freddie. And in order to keep her daughter on her side throughout the separation, she becomes her Wilderness Girls troop leader. The troop is a little different as they all come from Beverly Hills and they lack the typical outdoor survival skills that other Wilderness Girls have. Unfortunately for Phyllis, Velda, a rival Wilderness Girls Scout troop leader, does not think that they are real Girl Scouts and therefore sends her assistant troop leader, Annie, to infiltrate and get them disqualified from the end of the year jamboree. And at the jamboree, the Red Feathers, Velda's group, tries to trick Troop Beverly Hills into following the wrong path, thus leading them to, quite literally, their almost deaths. Only for it to end up that Velda gets severely injured and Troop Beverly Hills has to rescue and save her. At the end of the movie, Phyllis's life is in control. Her husband, Freddie, he wants to stop the separation and get back together. And best of all, Velda is working at a Kmart, which is probably why Kmart went under. R.I.P.
The Beverly Hills Troop of the Wilderness Girls is in tough shape. They've never earned any patches, never sold a single cookie, membership is down to 8, and they have had more leaders than a Banana Republic. Which, first of all, I don't know why Banana Republic gets so much hate. They do it on Will and Grace all the time.
Oh, were they talking about the country, or were they talking about...
Is there a country called Banana Republic, Chelsea?
Yeah, that's what Banana Republic is named after.
You're lying. No, a Banana Republic is like, I don't know if it's a slur. No, it can't be, or they wouldn't have a store name after it.
Well, they named Lululemon because the owner thought it was funny how Asian people couldn't say their L's. So anything's possible.
Oh my. See what happens when I don't watch documentaries? I had no idea. A Banana Republic is a term used to describe a politically unstable country with a weak economy.
Oh, so not a country. They were referring to that, though. More leaders than a Banana Republic.
Oh, okay, sure. I still think it's about the store.
And I still think Banana Republic is a country. I will probably say it in 4 episodes from now. So don't say you never learned anything from us. It's just we never learn anything from ourselves.
Oh, how beautiful. So it is time for a leader who will turn this troop around and be a beacon of leadership. Enter Phyllis Neffler. Did you have a Girl Scout era?
No.
No, I don't know why I asked.
Do I seem like I'd be a brownie bitch?
No. I was a Boy Scout for a few years. Is that shocking?
No, because it seems aligned with things.
Like what things?
Well, just like your upbringing.
White trash. That's what she's trying to say.
No, not white trash. Hey, I probably could have learned some things from the Girl Scouts. Maybe I wouldn't be a Phyllis in my 30s if I was a Girl Scout.
No, I don't think Girl Scouts are white trash. I think Boy Scouts are.
Boy Scouts are just grooming kids to become military people as adults.
Oh, God. Thank God I quit early.
But Eagle Scouts, I know 2 Eagle Scouts that went all the way, and that is impressive. Oh. You have to do a lot of shit to become an Eagle Scout.
Probably blow the leader is one of them.
What was your time in Boy Scouts like, Donnie? Please, tell us.
I only have 2 memories. One was the Pinewood Derby, where you got, like, this little chunk of wood, and you got to paint it and, like, carve it and stuff and put wheels on it, and then you made them race. I don't remember if I won or lost, but I do remember I made it tiger print.
Ooh.
I know. Because I was a Tiger Scout. Get it?
I got it. Yeah. Very on brand. You were feeling that spirit.
Uh-huh. And then there was one where we were in a parade and we had to like walk down the street. And older Boy Scouts made fun of me. So then when we got to the part of the parade route where my parents were standing on the side, I left the parade and cried and said, I want to go home.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And they're my two Boy Scout memories.
Well, I'm glad the Pinewood Derby was a positive. Fuck those
we
boys.
Think. I don't know if I won or lost. It could have been a negative, and I'm blocking out the traumatic
part. Sometimes
part.
It's not about winning or losing. It's about being really proud of those tiger stripes.
The second part's true. The first part, disagree.
Okay. Well, I'm still mad at those Boy Scouts. I bet they never became Eagle Scouts. Dumb fucks. Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. It is spring break here in the Onochals household, so just a quick disclaimer at the top of this ad. If you hear screaming in the background, those are my darling daughters, the mavens of mischief, the damsels of destruction, and the main reason why I have not gotten a full night's sleep since the year 2017, which often leaves me looking like one of the worms in Ursula's lair, or a dehydrated toad. Luckily, OneSkin is here to help. It's important to nurture your skin from the inside out with products that do more than just protect against the sun's UV rays. Donnie actually got gifted some OneSkin by a friend, and he was so obsessed with it. And this is like, I'm going rogue now. I'm going off script. Sorry, OneSkin. He was so obsessed with it that then he reached out to our wonderful network and was like, hey, can we reach out to them? Can they send us some stuff? Can they be a sponsor? And luckily, I guess OneSkin doesn't listen to our show because they agreed. And I am so pumped. Donnie and I both use OneSkin. I use it on my face and my neck, and as Lisa Vanderpump says, my décolletage, because I do believe that we as women, we can have it all. We can have wrinkles. We can have rosacea. We can somehow be dealing with adult acne and crow's feet at the same time. And ever since I've started using OneSkin, I definitely see a big difference in the color of my skin. It's more even. My texture is more smooth. Truly obsessed. Thanks, OneSkin. OneSkin's products are powered by their scientifically proven peptide called OS1. This peptide reduces the accumulation of damaged, aging cells, the cells that make your skin less resilient and more prone to lines and wrinkles. Instead of masking these issues, OneSkin addresses them at the cellular level, boosting your skin's natural barrier to lock in moisture and help protect against the elements. They have a full line of face and body products, including OS01 Shield, an SPF that prevents UV-induced aging and repairs cellular aging all at once. You know how I feel about sunscreen. I wake up, I put in my contacts, I put on my sunscreen. So listen up, Donnie, you old hag. Go ahead and get that OS01 Shield. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code CUTEONE when you check out at oneskin.co. No matter the season, or if you are a fellow millennial white-knuckling your way through gentle parenting with tiny terrorists of your own, keep your skin looking and feeling healthy with OneSkin. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code CUTEONE at oneskin.co. That's 15% off at oneskin.co with code CUTEONE. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, so please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Help your skin stay younger and healthier for longer with OneSkin.
Phyllis is a rich woman of the world and Rodeo Drive, who is in the middle of a messy divorce with Neffler the Muffler Man, who currently lives in the pool house and possibly is having an open relationship with his realtor.
When she was spying on her husband, this was another reason I am Phyllis adjacent, because when I was in my Sammy Sweetheart era, my ex-boyfriend, which let's just start calling him Ronnie to save time, because there are so many stories that I haven't brought out of the Disney vault yet from this time period of my life. So let's start with this little tale. So when Ronnie and I used to go out to bars, he would just leave. Like, at some point in the night, he would just disappear into the night. And then it was my responsibility to track him down like a bloodhound looking for drugs or a bomb. So there was one particular night where we were all downtown, and it was me and my best friend, and we were looking for Ronnie. We were walking around the downtown at 3 a.m., calling out his name, and then we found the motherfucker. We found him, of course, posted up with some random girl outside of a bar sharing a cigarette. And instead of approaching him, I wanted to, like, collect evidence because I do fancy myself a spy. So I just lurked for a while watching. And then at this point, I knew it was time to make my move. So I sprinted over to Ronnie and this random girl. I karate chopped the cigarette out of his hand, and then I pulled him into a cab and we went home. And that was just, you know, a typical night out for me and Ronnie.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. How did we get here? Oh, she was spying.
Okay. There was no karate chop, but she could have gotten there spiritually. I see it in her eyes. Game recognized.
Yeah,
if
she wouldn't have fell in the bush, I think we would have got to a karate chop. Also, I think Neffler the Muffler Man is hot.
I was shocked because I only know him as the grandpa from Parenthood. Zeke was a handsome young man.
I didn't know. I thought he was hot through the beginning of the movie. But when she goes to that pool house to have him open the mayonnaise and he is shirtless and covered in fart.
Fart! He is shirtless and covered in farts. Ooh-wee.
There are people online who would find that attractive, but I'm not one of them. Okay. He was shirtless and covered in fur, like chest hair. I was like, oh my God, sign me up.
I thought he was very handsome.
You can fix my muffler.
Yeah, he can go muff diving.
Oh, good one. The other day it was raining and I was walking past this car and they turned it on and all this water shot out of the exhaust pipe, which I don't even know how it landed in there. The car wasn't at an angle, but it hit me.
Been going through it lately.
I really have. I'm Job.
You are Job. Call off the dogs, so, God.
Yeah, I'll sign my soul to Satan like Ursula. But I don't want to be one of those worms. A life in hell, I can deal with. A life as one of those Ursula worms, I'd rather be dead.
I look like one of those worms every morning when one of my daughters wakes me up yelling about something at 5 a.m. Just look at them with those poor, sad eyes. Like,
I don't mean this aesthetically. Your daughters are those eels.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And when they combine their powers for evil, uh-huh, their eye glows.
Although her soon-to-be ex-husband thinks she is a self-absorbed flake who can't stick with anything, Phyllis has her mind set on being a great troop leader so she can bond with her daughter during this tumultuous time. And I think Phyllis is very Real Housewives of Beverly Hills coded.
Who do you think she is?
I think all the not good parts about Phyllis is like Dorit. And then 100%. I think all the good mom stuff about Phyllis is like Kyle.
That's fair. Yeah. No, I know who she is.
Who Phyllis is.
She is the Maloof Hoof.
Adrian Maloof?
You can't tell me that Phyllis would not wash a chicken with soap. She's super rich. She loves to go shopping. She is involved with her kids, but also, like, if she has a choice between a parent-teacher conference or getting those sparkle glitter fairy strands put in your hair, you bet your bottom dollar she's not choosing that parent-teacher conference.
No, you got it. You win that game. The troop is made up of the daughters of Beverly Hills' finest. Romance novelists, lawyers, Hollywood royalty, plastic surgeon, Southeast Asian dictators, and cuties. Get ready for some problematic accent work. I've been waiting. The man who put the space in Sphinx's teeth. The man who knocked the hair off Hagler's head. He's the greatest. He's my dad. Now, daddy, shake the man's hand and let's be on our way. That should be the trailer alone. I need nothing else. If they would have just showed that 5-second clip in the movie theater and then said, boom, Troop Beverly Hills, I would have bought my ticket as soon as I left Little Mermaid.
That should have been the tagline. Yeah,
it should have been. The girls don't have uniforms because, bloop, I said because. The girls don't have uniforms because other leaders didn't stick around long enough to get them. So Phyllis makes it her first order of business. After all, you can't be your best if you don't look your best. And that's not a quote from the movie. That's just how I feel.
That's just a silent burn to me as he looks across the Zoom screen.
No, it was just another point for the Hots, really. After a stop at Phyllis's personal tailor, Phyllis heads to her first meeting with the leaders of other troops, where she shows off her new wardrobe and shares her ideas for how the wilderness could modernize their efforts, like a star-studded telethon to sell cookies instead of selling door-to-door. And I think this telethon is not a bad idea if you have the talent for it, which all these women do have access to. But also, like I said earlier, the bitch lady is not fully wrong for being mean to Phyllis. Like, know where you are, honey.
Well, I think the problem with the telethon is that I feel like the Girl Scouts should be selling the cookies.
Yeah.
So I understood that point. But she's coming in with a can-do attitude. We don't want to shit on someone's parade.
Well, we'll get to it later, but the bitch lady is not wrong. In fact, let's get there now. With Phyllis's first meeting out of the way, the girls are ready to get their badges. And so they take their first camping trip, complete with fondue, espresso, and a full buffet. But when it rains and Phyllis ruins her fur coat, she decides to slum it at the Beverly Hills Hotel. And this is the kind of shit I mean. I understand you want to bond with your daughter, but then go take her to, I don't know, a jazzercise class. If you are a wilderness girl, you need to be a wilderness girl.
I think it's important to meet people where they are. Harm reduction, risk reduction. And these girls shouldn't have been starting out their first night in a monsoon in the woods. It's baby steps. And okay, they were roasting those marshmallows by the fire in the Beverly Hills Hotel. So I think Phyllis was just looking at her troop and knowing their strengths and their weaknesses. And these girls are great at playing poker.
You're right. You know what? You're right. And I think I'm just anti-Phyllis in this moment because it was the rain that was the deal breaker for her. And I love rain because it's the only time I can get away with peeing in public in New York City. Because I just take my wiener out of my pants and run down the street. And nobody knows because they're not paying attention. And I'm just... Pss, 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 pss. True story. I always have to pee, Chelsea. And I feel like I can never make it to where I'm going. And I like text Quinn. I'm like, please unlock the door. I'm almost home. I'm like 5 minutes away. Unlock the door. I won't make it if I have to use a key. But when it rains, I don't have to do that.
Okay. Are you being hyperbolic with the pss, 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 pss? Are you running down the street with your wiener out peeing willy-nilly?
Yeah, yeah.
Donnie, so you're peeing on yourself.
Yeah, but I go home. It's raining anyway, so I have to put those clothes in the laundry.
There certainly could be other ways. There could be middle ground between holding it and just whipping it out like a helicopter.
That one time I was arrested was because I had public indecency for peeing wherever. So I don't like to stop and pee anywhere outside anymore. So if I run and just look like I'm looking for shelter from the rain as I'm pss, 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 then the cops don't even think to look at me as a criminal.
Yeah, you'll just be arrested for flashing. Like, uh-oh, it's the flasher again running down the street with his peeing weenie.
Only if it rains.
Only if it rains. Well, you know, there is that phrase, don't piss on my head and call it rain. I think it originated somewhere, and it's Donnie on his way home from work.
Oh,
my
God.
Once again, I'm urging you to get your prostate checked.
My insurance is not good, Chelsea. I can only go to the doctor 3 times a year.
Then maybe depends. There certainly could be other avenues besides what you've just shared with us today.
The bitch lady would be twat deep in a Facebook conspiracy theory if this movie was made in 2024. But since Facebook didn't exist in 1989, she needs to find other ways to fill her sad lack of a life existence. And that is tormenting Phyllis for not fitting into the mold of what she thinks a wilderness girl leader should be. And making it her mission to disband Troop Beverly Hills, forcing her minion Annie to move in with Phyllis and become her assistant troop leader to spy and take down the troop from the inside. I never forced anyone to live with anyone, but in college, I had to stay an extra semester since I changed my major so many times. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get housing. I just like told my friend, oh, you have an extra room. I'm going to live with you. I don't think I paid rent. I literally just told her I was moving in and I did. However, she had a roommate coming the semester after my one single one. I think mine was a summer semester. So like she had a roommate moving in the fall. So throughout the summer, that girl would slowly move her stuff into the room and it would make me so mad every time. Because yes, it was your room. No, I'm not paying rent, but like this is my room right now. And now you're putting a beanbag chair there or like a bed. How dare you?
How dare she indeed.
But I did get scabies and I used to sit on that beanbag chair all the time. So maybe she got it.
Just so much to unpack in that story, and I'm going to choose to ignore it.
Leave it in the suitcase. Okay. Mm-hmm. Phyllis Neffler is no quitter.
I'm sorry. Is scabies what pirates get?
No, scurvy.
Okay.
Scabies is the bugs under your skin.
Okay, yeah.
I had it for a year and a half.
If you had more than three doctor's visits, I bet you could have gotten that taken care of.
No, my doctor, I just have a bad history of bad doctors where I have to, like, tell them what is wrong with me myself because they can never figure it out.
I feel like bugs under your skin is a pretty cut and dry case.
You'd think.
You cure scurvy by eating oranges.
Oh, good to know. Everyone really thought I was going to get scurvy when I first moved to New York because I didn't have money to eat. So I would only eat one pack of peanut butter crackers a day. Those six crackers. A diet for the gods, ladies and gentlemen, if you are looking for a new eating disorder, that's it.
Okay. Dr. Bald worries I'm going to get scurvy all the time because of my eating habits. Mm. He treats me like a dog who has to take a secret pill by eating cheese. Uh-huh. And he'll, like, sneak vegetable and fruits into my meals he makes me.
Wow.
It's like, did you like that smoothie? Lots of kale.
That's why Factor is such a good sponsor for us, because they give us our fruits and vegetables without you having to do a goddamn
thing. No, Dr. Bald is so pumped whenever we get our Factor box because he's like, thank God, you can work a microwave. You can handle this one.
Phyllis Neffler is no quitter. So at Wilderness Craft Day, the troop is there, ready to show off the backpack they designed that allows you to pack a week's worth of clothing in one tiny bag. Did you ever have to invent anything for school? I'm going to tell you what I had to invent.
Yeah, you go ahead. We've been working on this. You don't have to ask me the question if you've got a story. Just tell your story.
In economics, we had to invent something. So I invented a horn, which is real now. I should have got a patent. A horn for your car so that you could speak into it and it would say
so
it.
So just what police officers
Yeah,
have.
But for everyone's car. And police officers didn't always have that, Chelsea. Okay. When I invented it, it was fresh. It was called Express Yourself. And if you ever cursed, the Express Yourself song by Madonna would play. So it's like, you mother, express yourself, get off the road, like that. But the tagline was, if you want to warn, don't use your horn, express yourself.
Well, that is a great idea and clearly was designed by someone who has still to this day never had a license because we're like, road rage in this country is bad. You know what we should do? Give everyone a megaphone.
But that is why Madonna would censor you.
You don't think that people who have road rage hearing Madonna on a loop over and over telling them to express themselves, you think that that would promote a positive vibe in
the
car?
I think so. My teacher was like every kind of phobic you could think of. He was anti-women, racist, homophobic, etc. So for the commercial, I dressed as his wife and I was like, my husband makes me work in the kitchen, but sometimes I like to sneak out and drive when he's not looking. He thought it was hilarious.
Did you say, like, this is your wife?
Yeah. No, I said, my husband, Mr. whatever his last name.
I love that. I love your petty stories. It's so interesting, your lines in the sand, because you were such a goody-goody, but then every once in a while, you would do something blatantly, hilariously awful to your teachers, and I always approve.
So no crafts from you, Chelsea?
I invented things all the time, mostly lies of why I didn't do my homework, but I don't think I'm going to be able to beat Express Yourself, the road rage enabler.
Nobody could. So the girls are sick of being the weird losers who can't do anything right. So it's time to learn what it's like to live in the wild of Beverly Hills. Earning patches for grooming, jewelry appraisal, CPR and French kissing in the USA, Native American history, and a day at divorce court. Naturally, where Phyllis learns the Muffler Man is considering remarriage.
Muffler Man is a big old asshole, first of all.
A little bit,
although
yeah.
I will concede she should not have brought those children to divorce court. But I've told stories about how my family just casually tells these horrifying stories that I'm writing down for one day when I create a HBO show about them. My dad rarely talks about his childhood, but when he does, I'm like, let me put what I'm doing down and let me scooch forward and listen. So the other day we were driving and we passed an exit and my dad was like, oh, I remember. That's when they woke us all up one morning and all us kids were so excited because we thought we were going on like a vacation or something, but we were just visiting Uncle Freddie in jail. Pepe had like a bus, those big VW buses. That was his car so that he could pick up all of his brothers and nieces and nephews. So they could fit like 30 people in this bus that he owned. And so the bus went from literally bus stop to bus stop of all of the houses in my family. And they all visited my Uncle Freddie, who was in jail for lighting the church on
fire. Oh my God. We can talk about this off camera, but why did he set the church on fire? It wasn't racially motivated, was it?
Oh, no, no. Oh, and that's an important clarifying thing. Okay. It was not racially motivated. Okay. No. He was an arsonist who loved fire, and he also was horribly schizophrenic.
Oh, okay.
So that was not the first or the last thing he set on fire.
Wow.
But no, he was just playing with matches.
Okay.
It wasn't on purpose. He just loved fire, and churches are flammable.
Then I say he shouldn't be in jail, but that's another episode
sure
for
is.
Another day.
I'm so sorry, because we are going line by line, and we'll talk about this in the Age Like Blockbuster segment, but a good chunk of this second half of the movie, she was wearing a native headdress, not ironically, and I do think she was trying to appreciate, not appropriate,
right.
But appropriation wasn't a word yet in 1989, certainly. Have I told you about the exhilarating 48 hours where I thought I was native?
You haven't, but you're a white woman, so I just assumed that was part of your journey.
There was a really exciting period of time where I thought I could keep hanging those dream catchers in my bedroom. I took a 23andMe and I got the results back and I was like, oh my God, I am 23% indigenous to this region in Canada, which I do know that my family is French Canadian. So I was like, this makes total sense. Mm. I got really excited. And it was weird because all my family members had also gotten their results back and nobody else was talking about this. And I was like, did anybody else get these crazy results? Like, I need to research what tribe. I started looking into, like, do I qualify for free college? It turns out I just can't read data. And so it wasn't 23%. It was like 2.3 data points of people who were in that region who may have been indigenous. So it turns out, nope, just still a privileged white bitch.
The bitch lady doesn't see the value in the things the girls learn, so she makes them turn in their patches. But there's one thing they know she'll see the value in: cookie sales. And they promise to sell 2,000 boxes even if it takes a fashion show and a public performance inspired by Tina Turner. It's cookie time.
I do have to say something about the Girl Scouts of America.
Uh-huh.
Girl Scouts are predatory. They should be on an FBI watch list. They prey on the weak. They manipulate the masses. I don't like sweets. I don't like cookies. I know. That makes me some sort of bad person. I end up every single year with so many boxes of cookies because they corner you. And you can't say no to a sweet child
yes,
who's
can.
Got that entrepreneurial spirit. They hand you that clipboard and they say, how many cookies? And I always am like, I'll take one. And they're like, one? And I'm like, well, maybe two. I do love those Samoan cookies.
Chelsea.
I know. I end up with, like, quite literally 20 boxes of cookies.
First of all, no is a complete sentence. You need to learn that
first.
You
think I can go up to a 10-year-old approaching me outside of a grocery store and be like, no!
Well, no one said you have to say it mean. You say no. Second, lying exists. You can say your daughters are Girl Scouts, you already bought some. You can say you are like Emma Stone in Poor Things. You are a child yourself. You have to sell cookies. You can say all kinds of stuff. That does not result in you leaving with cookies.
My uncles were Keebler elves.
Exactly.
And they died in that tragic tree fire my Uncle Freddy set. I no longer can look at a cookie without being deeply traumatized.
There's plenty of things to lie about. One time outside of Sam's Club, there was this person that was asking me to pay for some kind of sick person. I don't know. But like, you want to pay to help these sick people? And I said, I am a doctor. I already helped enough sick people today. And then I walked away.
Wow. Giving doctors everywhere a great name.
So with 4,732 boxes sold, Phyllis celebrates with a gala where the bitch lady tells her the annual Wilderness Girl Survivor Competition is approaching and Troop Beverly Hills can't win with a credit card. And Mr. Muffler tells her how proud of her he is for turning her life around. But also, he wants joint custody.
And this is where I literally got my little fingers out to rant. I was going to type up my little dissertation, but then I remembered, oh, this is a feminist film. Don't worry, Phyllis has this handled. Because when he had the audacity, as Ramona Singer would say, to say, you've turned your life around. What have you done, sir?
Right.
What, you've stopped dating your too young realtor? Like, how have you proved your worth to her? How have you proved that you are worthy of this beautiful, stunning, intelligent, spirited woman, you absolute stupid, bad Reimer.
Agreed.
But I didn't have to say any of that, thankfully. Thankfully, I didn't have to say that rant because she was like, no, I think it was a good thing. It pushed me out of my comfort zone.
Because it was written by a writer of Designing Women. Famously not a movie.
There we go.
But feminist, which is probably why I don't like it.
It's no Face Stomper or whatever we're watching next week.
Sucker Punch. Phyllis has reached rock bottom and tells the troupe she quits, but they refuse to accept it and remind her of everything she's done for them. Helped Emily's father get a job, celebrated Chica's birthday when her own parents forgot, made them a team, and even introduced the forever single Annie to Cheech of Cheech and Chong fame. And so Phyllis is here to stay.
Just really quick, when I saw Cheech, I was reminded of a DM that I forgot to tell you about. A cutie DM'd me the other week after your Cookie Monster impression. Oh, I'm sorry. After Cookie Monster called in because he's a big fan of the show. And they said that they spent the first half of that 1 minute recap thinking you were doing a Cheech impression. And I forgot to tell you, so I made a note to tell you because when I saw Cheech, I started laughing. I was like, Donnie does a great one, I guess.
Well, now he can come on for another episode. Cheech can come on. And now I said this in my Instagram stories, but now is the perfect time to say it on my public platform because people ate me alive when I said it. Golden Palace, the spinoff to Golden Girls, is better than Golden Girls. Is it because Bea Arthur's not there? I don't know. Is it because Cheech Marin and Don Cheadle are there instead of Bea Arthur? I don't know. But I just know those three old ladies working with Cheech and Don Cheadle in a hotel is top tier comedy.
I've never seen it.
Oh, yeah. Golden Palace is on Hulu. It's only one season, but I think it's incredible.
It took place after?
Yeah.
It's the same as, like, Saved by the Bell goes to college. It's, like, new location.
Yeah, and they get rid of, like, a couple characters. In this instance, they get rid of Dorothy and replace her with a black man and Cheech.
Okay.
I loved it because I don't like Dorothy.
Well, she's an important dynamic.
Well, that's the thing. The dynamic is still there because you can tell they just wrote what would have been Dorothy's lines and gave that to Don Cheadle. So, like, that dynamic is still happening. It just, to me, works better on a black man than a butch old woman. But who am I? Just a man in this world.
Yeah, well, Dorothy didn't pass your feminist test, the hairstyle or the hot or not list,
certainly didn't.
Who are you in the Golden Girls? I'm a Sophia.
You tell me.
I think that you are, same as like with Sex and the City, how you could be a Charlotte or a Samantha. Yeah. You are a Rose and a Blanche.
Of course. Okay, I accept that. At the Jamboree survival competition, the bitch lady's troupe cheats repeatedly and leaves her ass in the dust when she breaks her ankle. Troop Beverly Hills gives up their shot at coming in first when they pick her up and carry her to the finish line. But the wilderness girl Law says the leader must be with the troop when finishing the race, and so the bitch lady's troop is disqualified, making Troop Beverly Hills the winner. I used to cheat at games all of the time. I stopped. But what are you shaking your head
That's
for?
That's the least surprising thing I've ever heard, that you would cheat at games.
I did stop. And I can find value in just playing games now, except for games that I don't think are fun. But all of that is to say, I did stop cheating. But I was a big peeker during Heads Up 7-Up. I would always, if the desk ended here, I looked through.
To see the shoes?
Yeah. And my biggest offense was Candyland because I marked the Queen Frostine card. I bent it a little bit. So then whenever I was shuffling, I would count how many I would be to my second turn and put it there. So we would have a full round where I like got a blue one, my mom got a yellow, whatever. And then on my second round, boop! Donnie goes to the end of the board.
But that's not fun.
It was fun for me who just wanted to win.
Did nobody ever catch on? Or like how many times were you able to get Queen Frostine before people started saying, huh, always on the second turn. Interesting.
At least twice.
Okay.
Anyway, I did stop. So now if you play a game with me and I win, just know I'm better than you.
Great.
The bitch lady is fired. Phyllis and Mr. Muffler may be getting back together. And Troop Beverly Hills becomes the new poster child for the Wilderness Girls. Life is wonderful.
Life is wonderful. This was a great movie.
I'm so glad you liked it.
I am here to say publicly, if the month ended here, if we were going off these past three movies, Chelchella would be a breeze for you. We'll see how Throat Chopper goes next week. And based on that, it will determine, are you camping in the woods in the rain? Or are you playing poker in the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Okay. Just be prepared for next week, if you don't like it, to have a one-sided conversation. And you won't be the first person I've told this to. Told it to my husband, told it to my father, told it to strangers on the internet. If you don't like it, I will tell you it's just because you don't understand it.
Well, as someone who had to explain the plot in real time of In Time to you, if I don't understand it and you do, bully on me. Egg on my face, shame
on
me.
Or rain piss on your face.
Yeah, or it's raining and Donnie's running down the street, pissing on my legs with his ding-a-ling. Oh. I wish you hadn't brought it back to that, because I will be thinking about that extensively.
Why?
For the rest of my life. That is an insane choice. And you know what? You always bring out the big guns with piss-related stories during your birthday, because I believe it was 2 Donnie Appreciation Months ago. And why do I remember this? I don't know. But we had Joseph Shepherd on, and we covered Cruel Intentions. Uh-huh. And that was the episode where you told us how you, quote unquote, got away with peeing yourself every single day on the bus ride home. And I'm not going to tell the cuties how you did it. I'm going to encourage everybody to go back and listen to that Cruel Intention stories and then slide into my DMs so we can shit talk Donnie, because much like whipping your penis out when it's raining in New York City, his solution in middle school was not much better. Anywho, on that note,
yeah.
Final thoughts. If we were to bring this movie to present day, who would you cast, or what would the plot to a sequel be?
I would make a remake, and I only cast Phyllis, and I made it Octavia Spencer.
I love that.
Thank you.
I have been really trying this month. I do hope going into next week you've recognized the hard work I've put in, because mm-hmm. I cast pretty much everybody. You ready for this?
I am.
Okay, so I think the premise is we could bring it to modern day and do a remake, but I like the idea of flipping a trope or a stereotype on their head while also playing off of it. So I feel like Phyllis could be an influencer type, like famous on social media for something. The dad is a podcaster. Like that Evian scene, those would be Stanley Cups. Mm. One of the badges would be like the perfect selfie, or like a Kate Middleton Facetune badge, one of those things. And then I have Phyllis as Rachel McAdams.
Okay.
The muffler man, Jake Gyllenhaal. Phyllis's best friend, who is like her person that she goes shopping with and hypes her up, Tracy Ellis Ross.
Mm.
I want the daughter to be Reagan Redford, who is, you're not going to know her because she's Missy Cooper from Young Sheldon. She plays that angsty teen quite well.
Okay.
The dad's girlfriend realtor, Margot Robbie.
Mm.
The evil lady, Maya Rudolph. And then the teacher from Sabrina, I want to be Quinta from Abbott Elementary.
Love that.
So there we go. Hollywood, if you're listening.
Also, when you started talking about your plot, I want to take your plot. Sorry, Octavia, you're back to the unemployment line for a little bit. I want to take your plot, but I want to make it Kate Hudson.
She would kill it. That would be a good one. Okay. She would kill it. Okay. So final thoughts. What about this movie aged well, and what aged like Blockbuster?
So I said nothing aged like Blockbuster, and here's why. There are some like specific things that like the father talks about nostalgia's big right now, so I'll be able to get a job. Like that, I think, only became more relevant with time. But in terms of the fashions, people wouldn't necessarily wear the fashions today, but they were so outlandish in the movie that people weren't really wearing them then either. So it just makes it like iconic. And as you said, even though we didn't know the words for it, she was not appropriating, she was appreciating.
Well, I do think that probably a white woman wearing a native headdress, as someone who was indigenous for 48 hours, I can say I don't think that that is necessarily the vibe. Going back to the clothing, though, the kids' clothing is Gen Z. What all of those girls are wearing at any given time, just walk into any high school in America right now and it's the same thing.
Or they're dressed like Adam Sandler.
Who is my fashion inspiration. I'm going to agree that this movie is timeless, iconic. I think that it's silly and extra enough.
Yeah.
It'll stand the test of time. I'm going to push back on the idea that nothing aged like Blockbuster, because this was created in 1989. Again, the headdress. There's a line of what goes better with hobos than wine?
Great question, I think.
Also, terrible parenting involving the daughter in a divorce. There was like this thing in the 90s of parentification where it was like, look at how funny it is that this daughter is more mature than her mom. Mm. And later it's like, and they grew up to be Gen X, who now is the big sister for everybody because they've had to be a grown up since they were born. And then there is also, which I'm so proud of myself, I didn't even rant about this in the main episode. I saved it for the end. We once again got one of the staple favorite 90s trope of like the evil succubus luring a clueless man away from his marriage with that realtor who clearly was much younger than him. And it was kind of presented in this like Mr. Muffler Man is blinded by this woman who's luring him away. And it's like, no, he's an asshole who's like choosing this woman over his family.
Well, that's true. So
that's the blockbuster part. But besides that, I can't say it enough. 3 out of 3 so far, Donnie.
Can't wait for it to be 4 out of 4 next week. Uh-huh. Because cuties, if you didn't know yet, number one, I don't know what you've been listening to because I literally talk about it every week. But next week, Donnie Appreciation Month does come to an end and with quite a bang because we're covering Sucker Punch. I've spoken to people in DMs about why.
No. Save it. We'll save this for next episode.
Okay, if you insist.
I mean, what are we going to talk about next episode?
How wonderful it is.
Okay, well, we've been talking about Sucker Punch for, here, let's do a look-see for just a Patreon plug. 1 hour and 36 minutes we've been recording. So if you're on the fence about joining our Patreon, patreon.com/IamTheCuteOne, because we can't shut the fuck up and all of the uncut, unedited video and audio footage is over there. So
it sure is.
Godspeed.
So on that note, we will talk to you later. Love you like a sister.
Thank you for listening to I Am the Cute One. If you want more, head to patreon.com/IamTheCuteOne for uncut, unedited, and unhinged video and audio footage of current episodes, as well as even more bonus content.
And if you like what you heard, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and subscribe to our show. And to help us grow this community of chaotic cuties, share an episode with a friend you think would pass the vibe check.
And to see the madness, check out our YouTube channel, where video footage from all current episodes are posted weekly.
You can follow me at Real Donniewood on Instagram and all other social media platforms.
And if you want more of my personal brand of chaos, check me out at Oh No Chels.
Talk to you later. Love you like a sister. Cuties, you know I cannot see a movie without pretending I'm in it, and now it's your turn. Have you ever tried to use the Force when no one's looking, or thought about what superheroes would win in a fight? Then you'll want to stop what you're doing, unless you're driving, and visit Sideshow.com. Your eyes do not deceive you. They have a life-size, impeccably detailed replica of the child from Star Wars The Mandalorian.
Now, I don't mean to brag, but Sideshow did send me the child. I call him Baby Yoda. I have since learned that is not his name, but he is my son now, so I will be continuing to call him as such. And we have been playing dress up, having photo shoots, and just having a grand old time. But if that one doesn't speak to you, how about a movie-accurate statue of Christopher Reeve as Superman?
They got that too.
But just wait until you see the incredibly lifelike figures of Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
We are thrilled to have Sideshow sponsoring our podcast today. They offer a wide selection of premium figures, statues, and fine art from the worlds of Star Wars, DC, Marvel, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, and so much more.
These limited edition, handcrafted, officially licensed collectibles bring pop culture's biggest icons to life in your home.
And here is the best part. You can get an exclusive $50 off your first order of $200 or more. It's a great opportunity for new customers to dive into the world of high-quality collectibles. Or you can gift it to that super geek in your life.
Perhaps that person in your life that you know would cringe when they hear that I've been letting my daughter sleep with my Baby Yoda. And again, that I refuse to stop calling it Baby Yoda.
Plus, shopping at Sideshow earns you 5% back in Sideshow rewards, meaning for every $100 spent, you get $5 back in rewards that can be used on future purchases. While geeking out is its own reward, your collection goes farther with Sideshow. So, what are you waiting for? Visit Sideshow.com, promo code CUTEONE right now, and get ready to let your geek side show.
Oh, that's clever. Sideshow. Like Sideshow.com? I get it.